Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi there, welcome to the Full 90s Soccer Time Podcast. Yeah, with some pizzazz.
Soccer Time!
Soccer Time! Our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and enrage, I guess, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We are your hosts. I'm from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in Eastern Washington now for 3 weeks. And still denying the Inslee victory, it's Brandon from the internet.
I swear that it was rigged against me, Brandon Culp, and I am outraged and enraged.
You know how I know you're lying? Is because you still have a job.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, the Republic...
Culp does not.
The Republic Police Department did not fire me, the only employee.
Yeah, they outsourced. Isn't that amazing? They outsourced the guy who was running for governor.
Yeah.
Look at you with a little pop pod thing on your microphone there.
I know. I did a...
You gonna stop popping your peas?
Okay, I wanted to say this. I listened to one of our most recent podcasts, and I was like, dang, I say a lot of words with the letter P, and it sounds awful. And then...
I've literally never noticed. The person editing has never noticed. That's amazing.
The person editing. Yeah, good. And...
Penis.
Yeah. Great. You mentioned this thing because I found it in the move, which is great. Like all of this crap that we loaded up from our apartment into mm-hmm. a bunch of boxes, moved it over to Spokane, and then unloading them, somehow things that I didn't know I had or forgot that I had start showing up, and things that are important to me that I wish I had are now
those
lost.
T-shirts?
Yeah, well, those t-shirts that I gave to you and haven't helped you at all. Hey, by the way, if you're listening to this and you weren't able to make it to our end of year party last year, let us know on Twitter and we will see if we can get to one of the extra t-shirts. We have like extra large off-color green and...
And it's the old name and logo. So awesome.
Vintage.
Let's go.
It's vintage.
Vintage, yes.
Anyway, I feel like home ownership now is just me losing stuff left and right and like important stuff and then finding completely unimportant stuff.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars if you can find them.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC partial owner.
From Ken Griffey Jr. to Russell Wilson to maybe someday Gary Payton?
Let's go. Yeah. What's Sean Kemp up to other than launching his own line of weed stores? This week, the Beats LA at home Sounders FC take on the Have You Seen Our Lineup LAFC. It's troubling. First of all, I'd like everyone to go to full90podcast.com because full90podcast.com is where you can find all the links to our stupid things. We don't do a good job of naming everything the same or checking. We launched a new name and didn't realize that you couldn't do it because it was too long on one of the social medias. I can't remember which. Anyway, yeah. Exciting week for Seattle Sounders FC. Ken Griffey Jr. becomes part owner of the organization. What a cool announcement. And based on some of the... video I've seen, this has been in the works since last December. My question is, did Russell Wilson fumble part of his shares to Griff?
No, he lives in, I think Griffey's living in Orlando now. I think he was like actually the 10,000.
Orlando!
Well, I forgot what the second part of that jingle was. But
I love you, Orlando!
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, everybody. I'll beep all that out because that's awful.
He was actually the 10,000th season ticket holder for Orlando City SC, and which I think is hilarious because he's like, oh, I'm going to go buy another team. I'm going to go give all of my actual money to a real soccer team.
Well, I got to give him a little bit of props, though, because he's putting his money, his investment into a winner, but he's also still putting a little bit of money into the local squad. I guess his wife, a huge soccer fan, I had no idea that he was even married. So that's I know that he has offspring because one or maybe more went to the school that I went to, maybe.
I think his son played college football at your school.
At the University of Arizona.
Yeah.
Which means he got high.
I feel like for a slow news week in this like weird international break that always happens in between the end of the regular season and the beginning of MLS playoffs, the Sounders have found like...
Not last year.
Yeah, not
the
last
one year where they did it right, where they like ended before the international break, so it didn't affect anybody.
Yeah. Well, cool. At least it's better than every other year where it's... The international break is happening during MLS Cup playoffs, but for a slow news week, the Sounders found a way to like make it interesting by adding Junior as a new partial owner. Now I feel like I said, all we need is Gary Payton and Megan Rapinoe to complete the Sounders FC ownership icon bingo.
As somebody who didn't grow up here, when you wrote glove, I did not know what that meant.
Oh yeah,
all we need is the glove for okay.
Yeah.
So, G Love, is that what it is?
No, it's just, yeah, GP. Yeah, he's called The Glove. That was his nickname playing for us. So,
well, how exciting that we have more people sinking money into a league that is hurting. I'm sure they're like, hey, we'll let you run around on the field if you do. You want to play start a couple matches? You want your kid to play? Yeah, that's he's doing pay for play. This is like F1.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I know nothing about F1, but it seems like Lewis Hamilton, who I just started following on Instagram because he seems like an interesting person, just became the best F1 driver of all time, or like the most winningest F1 driver of all time?
You're close. He just won his 7th world championship, which means F1 has been very boring in terms of who wins overall for the last 10 years.
Is it seven straight?
Seven straight. He won his first in 2008, and then I have to do the backwards math, 20, 19, 18, 17, so four in a row, and then Nico Rosberg won in 2016, and then he won the two before that, I think. So my math is close there. But yeah, he would have gone, his teammate won it 1 year, which is quite the feat, and the guy who's like, clearly the best. I mean, he's right there in contention with the best to ever have done the sport, which is mind-boggling. But Michael Schumacher, who bonked his head skiing and has never recovered, he has 7 world titles also.
So one more and he's got the most. Lewis Hamilton.
What's cool about Hamilton is that he's embraced social media in a really positive way. He's like a real positive guy. It's interesting because these F1 drivers, they work with, there's this physiotherapist. I don't remember. I think he's Finnish. And he started this organization called HINTSA. And it's psychology training in conjunction with physiotherapy. So, like, the guy that trains him to strengthen his neck for all those high-speed, high-G turns is also a person that would work on making sure that you're mentally as tough as you can be, so you don't get rattled. And that's the thing you see in all the best sports people. Hadleman, as my child calls him because he can't say Hamilton, which makes him the only black Jewish race car driver. Hadleman has... Angela, somebody who's a HINTSA person that has worked with him to really sharpen his mind. And so he's always really positive all the time, but he's tackling social issues on his Instagram. He's a fascinating follow and quite the gentleman.
That's why I started following this, just because I don't know why, but F1, which is car racing, seems so much more classy than NASCAR, which is what I grew up on, but which is also car racing, right?
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton is... like he's always speaking up on social issues, and he's wearing, you know, the Black Lives Matter shirts. He's wearing all of these different, like, George Floyd. He supports all of the different movements happening across the United States, which I find interesting because it's not just an American issue. He's a black man from London or from England. I don't know if he's actually from London, but
the most influential black person in all of the UK, as he's just been awarded that by some, you know, publication.
Sure. It's sometimes funny to think about like the bubble that you live in within the US, not just Seattle alone, but you think about like the different influencers, you know, LeBron James and Colin Kaepernick and some of these big athletes who do things, and you're like, okay, these are some of the biggest sports stars in the world, when you don't realize that they don't have as much influence in Europe and the UK as somebody like Lewis Hamilton, who's out there like doing the same, like supporting the same causes and making this American, primarily American issue, much more like international.
So it's very interesting. A few things about Hadleman is that he, I can't, it's just my 3-year-old calls him Hadleman. I just can't. A few things about him. One, he owns like 2 or 3 places in America, and he gets teased by his British friends, I guess, because he spent so much time in the States that his British accent has disappeared. And so now he's just an English speaker, and it's not really, you're not really sure where he's from. It's hard to peg him into a place, which is fascinating, but he gets teased for how much time he spends. He's got a house in Colorado, does a lot of skiing, and like a way to get away.
He's the Moira Rose of F1.
Not quite as peculiar, but yes. And then the social issues, it's fascinating because in, you know, all these other like worldwide sports, you see at the beginning of every soccer match in the Premier League, everyone's taking a knee still, even though the, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but even though the hype around the Black Lives Matter issue has diminished around the police brutality, that's diminished now on the headline scale. They're still doing that. And it like leaves me to wonder how they'll ever stop doing that. I'm not chiming in whether they should or not, but when they choose to, how are they going to address that? Because then you have to be like, well, now it's not as important.
Right.
They could have finished at the end of the season and said, okay, new season, we're going to charge ahead. To criticism, I'm sure. But how do they tackle that? In F1, they were doing kneeling before the races as a nod to what the footballers were doing and everything. And like only half the guys would take a knee. And it like created some controversy. And these other guys are like, you know, there's only ever been one like really successful black F1 driver. And exists now. There's another guy called Willie something that was in it for a minute. But these other guys are like, listen, I'm not going to piss off people in other countries that don't have us take on this by being political on this huge stage. Mm. And, you know, Hamilton is like, got it right. He's like, I mean, but racism exists against black people still everywhere. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, not my problem. And it's like really interesting to see how this sport, a worldwide sport, turns itself on it. But the marketing department of the sport in general spent a lot of time and effort being very visible about equality this year. Also, they take money from Aramco, which is a Saudi Arabian oil company that is tied into some terrible things, you know. So they're like, human rights issues are good if we can get positive attention, and shut up, quiet you about that if it's
we still reasons. Do slavery, but just not for black people anymore.
I mean, pretty sure they even would be okay with that if the money is right. They're going to Bahrain next week, and that's like a country where there's like still like open slavery. There's open human rights issues. I won't say slavery.
And I don't mean to be like flippant about slavery. It's just like, you're saying, these companies do these things because they know that there's money to be made in supporting social justice causes.
So the guy who built F1.
There is money to be made in like enslaving people building stadiums for the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who built up F1 in the last few years did a rebrand, changed a bunch of things, got Netflix involved. He's the guy that built the Fox News empire. Mm-hmm. Like the television empire. Yeah. He's like the guy responsible for a propaganda network. So like certainly he knows how to streamline an image, an issue, and get a bunch of money for it at the same time. And so Aramco is going to be a sponsor.
somehow to bring this all back to MLS and our new ownership. There was recently, I don't want to spend too much time on this anymore, but there was recently a report that was released, I think, on The Athletic, where they, you know, you have all of these teams that are saying these, you know, like players wearing Black Lives Matter on their warmups and, you know, taking a knee before games and teams supporting those issues on social media. And then The Athletic goes and does a deep dive into all of the different places that team ownership is donating their money as far as political campaigns go. And it's a complete dichotomy between like what you see on field and on social media and then what the teams are actually doing with the money that you're giving them. The Sounders actually fell into a really good place. Like most of the money that like the primary ownership, like Adrian Hanauer and others, gave their money to, now that Joe Roth is gone, was to like nonpartisan races or you know, more progressive kind of causes, right? Other teams in the league were not so fortunate. But as this team continues to grow,
Atlanta United's owned by Home Depot, right?
Like, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
And I'm not here to smear Home Depot, but they like donate a ton of money to the right wing. It's very clear that they go a certain direction.
Sure.
And that's fine. I'm not here to tell people how to spend. I spent all weekend with my very conservative brother who's very intelligent, and he's like, we just don't agree, but he's not a prick about it. And so there are people like that exist. So I don't want to lump everyone into one group or the other. But yeah, you see you see Seattle making a lot of contributions to the community and as a kind of blanket without necessarily as, to my knowledge, as much political bias. But you see other places that are going
To me, it's not about like who you donate to. It's not about like whether or not the Sounders are donating to liberal causes or conservative causes or whatever you want to call it. It's the fact that like the team is one thing on social media and they are also that thing behind closed
Great
doors
point.
With where they give their money. Like when you have Atlanta United players, I'm not saying that Arthur Blank, I don't know. I didn't read too much into this report. I don't know where Arthur Blank or Robert Kraft, well, I think we know where Robert Kraft is donating his money, but he owns the Revolution. But you see these players taking knees before games, and then the money that you give to the team that you support, if you're a New England fan or possibly an Atlanta United fan, is actually going to causes that you maybe the players don't agree with or even. So it's just interesting to think it's not just F1 and it's not just like big leagues. It's every
it's
literally
systemic. It's systemic inequality and a market driven capital state.
Yeah.
Like it's just, and I'm not like,
we'll see if Ken Griffey Jr. plays his golf at Mar-a-Lago.
Shout out to Marcus Rashford. From Manchester United, who might be the most important sports figure that I've seen this year. Lewis Hadelman's right up there doing his thing and making a difference with his, trying to like lead people to a better, to a better future or something like that. But Marcus Rashford making sure that kids are fed and now doing a book campaign to make sure that all kids have equal access to reading material. Like some kids, he said he didn't start reading until he was 17. Wow. Some kids don't have access to their first book until they're post-teenagers. Like stuff. And the way that he's committing, if you want to do yourself some justice and not hear me butcher it right now, do a little Googling on that because he's just the best player. I hope he scores a million goals and I like him. I'm as an Arsenal supporter, I want to see him win every award and make it as high as possible. He's officially higher up in the British Empire than Lewis Hadelman as a member.
For now,
for now at least. Yeah. So
I think it's crazy. Like just some background, like he petitioned like the government to pass a law and they didn't. And he said, fine, I'll do it. And then like built a coalition of people to like give money and food to kids who are out of school who couldn't otherwise
because of
coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
So it's amazing. He earned a member of the British Empire Award. Like it's like one step short of being knighted, essentially.
And now going into the Christmas holiday where they shut down for weeks and kids don't get fed again, he has now gotten the government to actually take action themselves and to commit to feeding kids during the holiday season. And like he goes head to head with politicians and just calls them out for their like he's very simple about it. And they're like, you're too simple about it. And he's like, feeding kids is
not hard.
A difficult issue. Yeah. You just do it. And they're like, this could really damage the value of the pound. And he's like, yeah, but having starving kids also.
Yeah, but also that. Brexit did that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So it's really interesting. And he's a great read up on it. Maybe if we remember, which we won't, we'll put out some social media about it or something like that. Go to full90podcast.com to find us on all the socials. There we go. Tying it in. Stefan Fry, congratulations to our goalkeeper finishing a distant fifth in this year's Goalkeeper of the Year awards. Andre Blake from the Philadelphia Union was way out ahead in every category. He must have had a dynamite coronavirus hashtag, not hashtag, but asterisk season. He took a third of the player vote, half of the club vote, half of the media to finish first. Matt Turner, Eloy Room, Pedro, oh boy, I won't get his name right, from Orlando. Those guys all finished ahead of Stefan Fry in fifth place with very minimal amounts of vote. It's like Christian Roldan voted for him. It looks like
that was it.
Schmetz. But he used his big gun, so he got like a little bit extra.
Yeah. I mean, Philadelphia Union won the Supporter Shield this year. Stefan Fry had a great season, and I think
he
will be one of the best goalkeepers in the history of MLS to have never won the award. That's if he never wins this award, he will be one of the best in history to have not won it.
You really understand what Chad Marshall contributed there too. That Steph, obviously, that's no disrespect to his ability, but when he had a Chad Marshall in front of him, you're going to give up less goals. It's just not. He's just such a good defender.
Well, and you look at some of the statistics for Steph this year. Like, how many shutouts did he lose because of a like wonky penalty or
at least two?
Yeah, exactly. And so you start to look at some of the maybe his save percentage or things like that that start to get, you know, when you have this new dynamic center back pairing that is first years with the season, or, you know, first full season with this with the club, trying to figure themselves out, like Steph is going to face the brunt of a lot of their mistakes, and that's just, it's going to take a hit on his stats. I think eventually
he's getting old.
He's getting up there, but I mean, goalkeepers can play until they're like 75 nowadays. So whatever.
Hashtag Casey Keller.
Hashtag Tim. What's his name again?
Howard.
Tim Howard. Thank you. best Premier League goalkeeper in the history.
Better check. Yeah. All right.
Speaking of finalists for awards, Sounders had two finalists for MLS MVP. I don't think that it's been announced yet. I don't imagine either of them is going to win. But Nico Lodero and Jordan Morris, both finalists in the top five for MVP this year.
If you had to pick one of those two, I'm putting you on the spot, who would you pick? We're not looking at stats. We're just using gut here. Who would you pick as your MVP?
Nico Lodero. Between those two. Nico Lodero by far. I think that the way that the team plays without Jordan Morris, like Jordan Morris is clutch, does a lot for the team. But, you know, the team can still squeak out some wins without him. When Nico Lodero's not on the pitch, and we've talked about this a million times, there is no replacement for him. He is like the engine. He is, when you talk about who is most valuable to the team, both of those players are invaluable, but Nico Lodero takes the edge just because, like, there's no replacement for a guy who can. I mean, he buzzes around the field like you never know where he's going to show up next, and that's like you just can't replace that.
Yeah.
What about you?
And I also go. I have a hard time with Jordan Morris because he's so good, but once he gets figured out, I feel like his. This season, we've seen that once he gets figured out or once he gets worn down, his game starts to tend to just drifting in the middle and hoping to get some scraps instead of being a consistent winger or the ability to open a game up or to really influence. If this is kind of a no-duh, and I'm not a great analyst, but like if he's having an off game, then he's just not a factor. Mm-hmm. And
or if he's tired. I mean, if you play three games in a week and Jordan Morris is not like Mo Farah, who like is the, you know, the marathon runner, the ultra distance runner, like Jordan Morris is not that. Like he can run and he can sprint, but even at the end of a game sometimes you're like, whew, he looks like me after walking a mile.
But this dog walk, whew. It's, I don't know if it's been bad man management or what, but Lodero gets frustrated and you see him throwing his hands up and getting mad at some point in matches, but he typically gets his head back on straight and goes again. A match where he doesn't have to drop back and play a ton in his own half is a dangerous, dangerous match for anyone that's trying to play defense against him. And so I think that I also agree. I find this interesting. What do you think a Seattle Sounders FC would look like if we were short one Gonzalo Pineda? I ask because Gonzalo Pineda is in the front running for the DC United head coaching job. And so we could see a future where once a season, either here or the next year there, we could be watching the Sounders battle DC United and playing against one of our own.
This is a story with a lot of entanglement, right? So Gonzo Pineda is former Sounders FC player, former Mexican national, like, legend of the club, like won the supporter shield with the team in 2014, became assistant coach, has been getting all of his proper licenses to be able to be a head coach for a team. And this was bound to happen. He's in the running for taking the head coach job for DC United. That's great for him and bad for the Sounders because his experience and his demeanor on the sideline is going to be missed if he takes that job. Other people in the running, Ezra Hendrickson, former Sounders assistant. It would be sad to see him go, but also you kind of expect it. If you could have two head coaches, you would want Brian Schmetzer and Gonzo Pineda in order for him to not leave. But the reason I say there's a lot of entanglement here is because we talked a couple weeks ago about how Brian Schmetzer, his contract is up for renewal, and those conversations had stalled. And it sounds like the reason was about not about his contract, but about pay for his assistant coaches. Now, was Brian Schmetzer envisioning, which is like the most Brian Schmetzer thing to be a Brian Schmetzer thing in the world.
Now they got that Griffey money, though. Let's go.
He was Brian Schmetzer foreseeing the fact that Gonzo Pineda might be eyeing a head coaching job where he's going to go make more money. Yeah, part of it's not about the money. He's going to want to go challenge himself for a head coaching gig somewhere else, right? No matter what. But was Schmetzer maybe saying, hey, let's give Gonzo his money because this is a guy we can't lose?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see him leave the nest and go be a head coach somewhere, but also you don't want him coaching a squad against you.
Yeah.
That's tough. But at least it would be in the other conference.
Yeah, if he's got to go anywhere, Eastern Conference, it's got to be.
Hit me with this golden clog update, Brandon. You added it to the sheet here, and I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah, Kelvin Leerdam, we can officially say now that the regular season is over. It has been for 2 weeks, and I've just not been paying attention.
Yeah, me neither.
We can officially say, without any doubt or without any reservation, that Kelvin Leerdam has officially won the 2020 MLS regular season Golden Clog. We need a jingle. We need like a. We need a sound.
I got you here. Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. We need what we need is like one of those. What do they use in what are Dutch people? It's like
a flugelhorn.
A flugelhorn. Yeah.
That's more like Switzerland.
So last year he won the award, but only because of
some. Should we just clap some clogs together?
Yeah, like,
clap,
yeah. Clap. It's got to be like the wooden clog dancing. Whatever we can get that in the background. We tried last year. We tried to we searched everywhere to see if we could buy a wooden clog and then paint it gold and then somehow give it to the team to give to Kelvin Leerdam. And we couldn't find a clog that was not hella expensive or be like the right kind of clog. I don't know. I don't know what makes us like the judge, jury, and executioner on what the right clog is.
But... Oh, I know what it is. It was cost.
Oh yeah, it was definitely cost. But yeah, last year he technically had a tie for the most goals in the league, but we awarded it to him because who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. No, he was the winner.
Yeah. So congrats to Kelvin Leerdam for 2020.
Congrats. Oh, that's lovely. Damn it, there's so many non-wooden clogs on Amazon. It's really remarkable. Like I typed in wooden clog and it like comes back with all this garbage. Ooh, there's a silver one. That's nice.
Oh, could we paint it? Could we paint it?
No, I mean, if we're going to paint one, I'm going to get a proper wooden clog.
Yeah.
I don't want from shoes. I want from all. This is so weird.
I don't know if at Sounder Scandinavia listens to our podcast, but if you do, please hit us up and send us a clog so we can send it to Kelvin.
100% hate listens if that's the case. So here's the worldofclogs.com round toe plain traditional all wooden natural Dutch clog for $46.95 plus $10 shipping. Get the hell out of here. I'll go out the garage and make one.
Can we crowdfund?
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should start the golden clog crowdfunding.
full 90 podcast. GoFundMe.
I should have the men's room on KSW. They do a segment called Go Fund Yourself.
Yeah.
Where we get to read out your things and see if we can't get people to
help us get support $43 because we're cheap ass.
It's $46 and we need $10 shipping, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And then also a can of spray paint. You know what? Someone provides the clog. I will provide the primer spray and spray paint. Okay.
Hit us up on like Venmo or GoFundMe.
Now I got to tell you, my old podcast, Our Dumb Podcast, we had Dummy of the Year that we gave out the award. It was to Cool Keith, and we got a lightsaber, a plastic lightsaber, and spray painted that gold. And so he has the golden saber. Is the official. Maybe he can send me a picture of that. We could post that. But yeah, let's get working on the golden clog. Congratulations to Kelvin Leerdam. What did he get? Like three goals?
Three goals this year. And what's funny is that he is, it's not like MLS, first of all, most of the Dutch people in MLS are defenders. So it's not like it's just the best goal scorer of all of the defenders in MLS.
You forget Danny Huijsen.
He beat Danny Huijsen. And then I guess there's like a Dutch forward that plays for LA Galaxy. Both of those guys only scored one goal this year. So he's beat Kelvin Leerdam, the starting right back for the Sounders, has beat two out and out forwards for two other teams in the league. Granted, those teams are San Jose Earthquake, who only made the playoffs on a technicality, and LA Galaxy, who are terrible this year. So,
congrats.
Congrats to Kelvin. Not to diminish his award. This fully made up award that we just made.
Now, before we get to the upcoming playoff match, it's important that we address something, and that's rebranding. And sometimes a team needs a rebrand, and they do it, and sometimes a team doesn't need a rebrand, and they do it anyway to try and mix things up a little bit. We have one of each this week to talk about. Congratulations to the Houston Dynamo for ruining a good brand and making something terrible.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid in elementary school. They redid their crest. They redid their whole look. They kept it orange, but instead of orange and white, now it's orange and black, which is okay, fine. Halloween all year. That's great. Halloween in June is going to be super fun for them. I get it, with their no fans. But it's the crest itself. And I remember being in fourth grade and taking a visit to my dad's alma mater, Notre Dame. Fancy Catholic guy. Ooh. And when I got back from that, I was obsessed with the ND logo, that crossover lettering that they do. And so I learned how to draw it and then draw it in 3D and then shadow it and all that stuff. And looking back, I found someone I was at home visiting my dad this last weekend. They're terrible because I was in fourth grade. I feel like the same brilliant mind went and revamped the Houston Dynamo logo. And I don't know. They might be trolling. It could be like, this is going to look dope, dude.
I don't know. I feel like if this was their first, I mean, first of all, their old logo was fine, but it was very junior soccer league kind of like.
It was very MLS.
It was very MLS, but like that's okay sometimes, right? Houston Dynamo rebrands. It's this hexagonal thing with that interlocked HD for the Hoder Dame, apparently. But it ends up looking more like the San Francisco Houston Dynamo FC, like based on the color scheme, and like you look at all of their merchandise.
The Dynamo.
How did I miss it? How did I miss that? God. Unless, never mind. I was talking about a dog jumping up on the east. Anyway, it's okay. I feel like it would be good. This looks like one of the, like a fan redesign, like the kind of crap that we do sometimes that like oversimplifies something and makes it look super sleek, but would never work for
makes reference to a German police force.
Right, you jerks! It was not that bad. I can't help it that they're called the Seattle Sounders. It's two S's. Come on,
and that they spent 8 of their first 10 years writing SSFC on everything. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know.
So it's fine. It's a fine logo. It looks.
If I was a fan of that team, I would be like, "This is garbage."
Garbage.
I would replace. I would take out on the crest. I would take out where it says Houston Dynamo FC and that weird lightning bolt. Like, what's that for? And just make the middle. If you're gonna go for the Hoder Dame look, just move the HD into the middle and just make that the thing, right? And like just go with it. But they have to add a million things into it. Speaking of bad crests, though,
this is my favorite.
We've gone through a rebrand after our couple seasons. We became Full 90 Soccer Time and changed everything. So we know a bit about a rebrand.
I mean, obviously professionals.
Yeah, obviously. Chicago Fire, we've talked at length about this. Chicago Fire last year launched their rebrand, which just looks like red and yellow Vancouver Whitecaps.
It looks like someone got into my toddler's construction paper source and started cutting out flames and stuff. And then we're like, look at that. That's cool.
Totally. Yeah, it's like that. What's that meme? It's that dog sitting in the burning room. This is fine. That's what it looks like. That it looks like if you put a dog sitting there.
It's not even that cool though.
Yeah, that's true.
If it did look like that, if they actually used like the cartoon look of it, it would be so awesome and like dated in a few years. But like if they had This Is Fine Dog as their inspiration, I would be like, hey, at least you're tapping into like the culture or whatever.
Well, they went from basically
safety scissors,
right? Do they have Lewis Hadelman playing for their team? They went from the basically this is the thing that actual Chicago Fire Department wear on their jackets to construction paper ripoff of Vancouver Whitecaps FC. And after I think two full seasons, this from reporter Paul Tenorio says the Fire are set to announce plans to scrap the crown badge. Oh, a crown? That's what it was? Okay. And unveil a new one for the 2022 season pending final approval of plans.
Is the crown for Oscar the Grouch because you're the king of hot garbage?
I don't know. They're like one of like the 40 one of the 40 cities in the US that calls themselves the Queen City, I think.
Hot garbage.
It's like them, Louisville, probably like Republic Washington where Culp is from.
They don't recognize monarchy there. How dare you? The Queen of the West is Charlotte.
Okay.
What city is known as the Queen City?
Like Charlotte, nine. There's like nine of them, I'm pretty sure. It's like, I think Louisville calls them the Queen City. I think
Cincinnati is known as the Queen City.
Cincinnati calls themselves, yeah.
Denver.
So what's the crown for, Chicago?
Yeah, I told you that they're the kings of hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
It's what Dax McCarty wears. I don't know. I guess he doesn't play there anymore. He plays for Nashville now. Anyway, this podcast from three seasons ago.
Ah, the Wizard Bird!
Whoa, that was crazy. I just got transported back to a time where Dax McCarty didn't play for Nashville.
Okay, now because we have to actually look forward to possibly the toughest challenge of the season. Here we go. Tuesday, the 24th, 7:30 p.m., Seattle Sounders FC versus LAFC. Number 2 seed, Sounders, versus number 7 seed, LAFC. At home, not at the Baño de California, but rather CenturyLink Field. It's the second playoffs of the season. First time, it did not go well.
Yeah, no. And it's the second time that the Sounders will play LAFC in the playoffs of the season. Celebrating our 12th season in 10 years.
Now, you turned something that I had, a question that I had posited, and maybe I mentioned it on the solo cast I did last week. But
you did.
I'm curious. Sounders finish in second place behind the Wizards, who are sporking Kansas City Wizards, excuse
behind me. Behind the Wizard Birds?
Oh, no. We're doomed. But the Seattle finishes behind sporking in second place, and it means that you're battling against a team like LAFC again. If they had finished third, they would have played FC Frisco. As you put it, would you rather fight 100 FC Frisco-sized LAFCs or one LAFC-sized FC Frisco? So Fartland, because they finished third, get to play a team that we haven't seen this season because they are not in the MLS bubble that we're stuck in or whatever.
So the sub-conference of the MLS Western Conference. That
Yeah. And so they haven't played seven times against that team. So they get to play a fresh opponent, and maybe some of their tricks that other teams have figured out are a little bit safer because you haven't seen it on the field three times in the last 3 months. I'm curious to know if you would have rather finished third and play FC Frisco in Dallas, outside Dallas, or it would have been in Seattle, actually, from outside Dallas, or if you're stoked to have the challenge of playing LAFC, a team that is suddenly getting real good.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that the Sounders want LAFC at home. I don't know. In my opinion, facing a team you know as opposed to a team that you haven't hardly played this season. I don't know if the Sounders have played them at all. I didn't do my research and like look back, but it's
unless
it's
they played at the top of the season, like I'll look it up right now, but unless they played at the very top, they didn't see.
So it's a team like LAFC that you've played like 100 times this year, or a team like FC Dallas who the Sounders have struggled against in the playoffs specifically in the past. Yes, this is a different FC Dallas team than it was. There's no Blas Perez on the team anymore, thank God. But this is it's just a team that you don't know. And in my opinion, if it were me playing, which it's not, thank God, that the Sounders would want to be playing a team that they've beat this season. It's also a team that they've lost to this season. But going into it with a hopefully strong and healthy lineup, given charter flights that are coming back from all of the international breaks and yada, 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 at home, you just hope and think that the Sounders are going to like their chances against Los Angeles Football Club.
Yes, football, yes. Okay, so each team has COVID issues with their internationals, as you just kind of mentioned. Gustav Svensson and Senor Yellow Shirt, Red Card, Arriaga, both are playing with teams where players tested positive.
And Arriaga tested positive for scoring goals.
Booyah.
Booyah.
I did not know that he scored a goal. Great job.
Yeah, and it wasn't even with his head. It was like a... he was playing a Roman Torres-esque position in this game.
Oh, you mean attacking central defense?
Attacking center back. And scored a goal with his foot. So good job.
I'm glad he'll have some confidence coming back. That'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's crazy is that both Gustav Svensson and, or Carl Svensson, as he should be known, and Javier Fingerweg Arriaga are both coming back from teams that have had positive COVID tests. Now, MLS, because of playoffs, are flying or chartering flights back for most international players, unless you play for like a small market team that they don't care about, like Houston. I don't know.
Biggest city in America. Amazing.
Right, right. They are flying back most of these players on charter in order so they can begin their quarantine processes sooner, so that if they're going to miss a game, it's only one. And they're giving them all sorts of like the rapid COVID testing and yada, yada, yada. Now, yeah. That means that the Sounders could have Gustav Svensson and Javi available against LAFC. The chances of that happening are in the air a bit. What's crazy is that, once again, MLS scientists doing state-of-the-art science concluded that Raul Ruiz Diaz does not need to quarantine because he already had COVID.
Someone's a step ahead, huh?
Yeah, he's apparently
like, we
a
might
step
lose
ahead.
Three matches, but just wait till the playoffs come.
He's like, Raul Ruiz Diaz is fighting COVID with COVID. He, I'm actually thankful that the top scientists in the world, sponsored by Herbalife and Advocare, are working for MLS instead of like the Center for Disease Control, because they, before any other top scientists in the world, were able to determine that you can't get COVID twice, despite there being no evidence of that.
Well, hopefully he's still got the antibodies right now. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt Pence had an interesting take.
Yeah. So the Sounders dealing with some potential misses for the game because of people flying back and having to quarantine and whatever. Matt Pence, a reporter now for The Athletic, said that Seattle will have the competitive advantage because Raul had COVID, as we said, and LAFC has not. Now, since that tweet, I have seen that Diego Rossi has contracted the virus on international duty. Now, Diego Rossi is like the player for LAFC this year. He's the Golden Boot winner in MLS. Not just the Golden Clog. He was the top scorer in the league this year.
And second best award, yeah.
Yeah. He will 100% miss the game against the Sounders. So the Sounders getting a little bit of a break there because a guy got diagnosed with like a disease that's ravaging the entire world.
Let's go, Sparts! That's really interesting because he's... we'll talk about it here in a second, but... just right now, LAFC's coming into this as the underdog, technically. Is Vela fit again? Is he back out there? I thought I saw him running around.
He's been playing. He scored some goals. He looks like he hasn't missed a step. Who knows if he's like fit or not to go the full 90, especially against a team like...
Whatever,
the Sounders will run you ragged, but Vela is just... He's one of those players, right?
Yeah, that's the guy you want to have out there. He's top shirt sales, too, for the league there. He's right there at the top.
But without also, Diego Rossi, like,
so then,
is
hold on,
he going
you also
to be
have,
form?
You also have comeback player of the year, Bradley Wright Phillips, which is crazy. And MajorLeagueSoccer.com young player of the year, Diego Rossi, just announced. But to get that award and then to not be able to show off those skills, that's a massive loss for them. But let's look at Bradley Wright Phillips real quick for a second here. He's so dangerous, especially if you have Vela out there. Fastest player in MLS history to record 100 league goals. Did it in 158 matches. First player in MLS history to score 20 or more goals in three different seasons. That's crazy. 14, 16, and 18. 14 was the year that we won the Supporter Shield, too. That's nuts. Well, we didn't, but Seattle did. First player in MLS history to score 15 goals or more in five consecutive seasons. MLS Golden Boot in 14 and 16, and MLS Best 11 twice as well. This guy is, as the comeback player of the year, that is not a guy you want on the pitch when you've got it all on the line.
But it's important to remember what he's coming back from. He's coming back from being bad at soccer. a while ago, Charlie Davies, a guy who was involved in like a horrific car crash that broke a bunch of his legs, like came back and played a season and did well. Like that's a comeback story. Jordan Morris getting injured, Clint Dempsey having his heart issue, like things like that. Those are things that you come back from and have a good season and get comeback player of the year for. Being bad at soccer for a season and then being good the following season is just called being a professional athlete. I don't think that being bad is like something that you come back from. That might be like, that's like most improved, maybe.
he gets the ultimate millennial award.
Yeah.
So at the pizza party after the last match, they handed out the same trophy to everybody, and he got the most improved.
And his dad, Ian Wright Phillips, was so happy for him.
So pissed that he had to miss his Thursday night television to go in. Yeah. Good thing he's got DVR. Welcome to 2020, Ian.
Yeah. I jest because he's actually a great player. He's had a good season this season. There's a reason that MLS has given him this crazy award. This is a guy, I think you were on the MLS UK show a while back, and they said if there was one player from any other team that you'd want on your team, who would it be? Bradley Wright Phillips is one of those guys. LAFC went and picked him up after a bad couple seasons at New York Red Bulls, where he became a legend. He's having a great season. It's like you lose Diego Rossi, but it's not like that's your only goal-scoring threat. It's not like losing a Jordan Morris or a Nico Ladero.
Who would you rather have on your squad, BWP or Wondolowski?
Oh, Bradley Wright Phillips by far.
There you go. Even though Wondolowski's so clutch,
I think that in Seattle there's this ever since we lost Eddie Johnson, we haven't had like a tall striker goal scoring threat the way that we have Will Bruin.
Dying on the inside now. He's like,
not to dunk on Will Bruin.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. Will Bruin's a great player, but he doesn't have necessarily the technical ability that a lot of those, like Bradley Wright Phillips, Eddie Johnson, some of the taller, faster, bigger players who are also competent goal scorers in a bunch of different ways. Will Bruin's a great hold-up player, but I think that's my Seattle bias, wanting like a Eddie Johnson type on the team again.
Let's looking back at the most recent matches. The MLS is crap round of 16 was the first matchup between these teams. 4-1 for LAFC, knocking Seattle out of that crazy tournament. Back in August, they played their first of their regular season matches. Sounders winning 3-1, followed by a few weeks later winning 3-0. And then LAFC turned things around there in October as the Sounders kind of fell apart and won 3-1 in LA. In those three regular season matches, the home team has won each time, being second in the West and having that home field advantage, even though it's just being in the stadium that you're familiar with, at the locker room that you like, driving from your own home to being able to go play. It's not going to be the same advantage as having, 60,000 people in a stadium screaming, but it is going to, as we've seen just statistically, play some sort of advantage. So,
if anything, it's an advantage to me because now that I've moved across the strait, I don't have to experience extreme FOMO for not being able to attend a playoff game at CenturyLink Field.
I just hope they don't get a team in Idaho because then we don't know what we're going to do with you.
Coeur d'Alene FC!
Your season ticket comes with a gun.
So you can shoot the mask.
That's wonderful. In case you just teleported back from the realm of the wizard bird in a different time dimension altogether, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen.
Is it Hoder Dame or Houston Vaginamo?
I think Hoder Dame or just... Let's just not talk about Houston ever again.
Just jokes, everybody. Just chill out. Yeah. Too long, didn't listen.
You can't come back from being bad at soccer.
Bradley Wright Phillips would like a word.
I would like him to shut up. And too long, didn't listen.
Let's crowdfund a golden clog, everybody. Come on.
A legit golden clog. We'll put up the spray paint. Come on.
All right, take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball. Let's do some predictions. It's Tuesday night, 7:30, playoff round one. Seattle Sounders FC, the 2 seed, welcoming number 7 seed LAFC to CenturyLink Field. Brandon, how do you see it from on the other side in the dusty part of Washington?
Through the dust and through the Crystal Pepsi, I see the Sounders. They have to win. So I'm going to say the Sounders are going to win. And it's going to be a hat trick by Raul Ruiz Diaz. I don't think we've ever seen one of those.
Pass the ball to Raul.
Just pass it to Raul. What do you see in your swirling effervescence?
I'm going to go with a familiar scoreline, and I'm just going to make this real easy. 9-1 Seattle.
Six? I thought you were going to say 6-9 Seattle.
69-1 Seattle. 420-1 Canadian.